You're listening to the Salerno Paranormal Podcast, where the unknown meets investigation. From haunted locations to unexplained encounters, we dive deep into the mysteries that surround us. With your host, Mitch McLean, get ready to explore the truth beyond the veil.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Salerno Paranormal Podcast. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. I'm Mitch McLean, and this is the Salerno Paranormal Podcast, where the unknown becomes unforgettable. Now, today, we're diving into one of the most chilling, consistent, and controversial topics in the paranormal world, shadow people. Yep, shadow people. Who or what are these entities that lurk in the corners of our vision? We often see them just fleeting. When we start looking and then we turn to look more, they disappear. I mean, why are they so often described the same way across different cultures, eras, and continents? And most importantly, are they real? Now strap in, because this one gets dark, literally and figuratively. All right, so this is going to be a real interesting conversation, Roman.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So what you got to say? Here we go.
What are shadow people? They're typically described as human-shaped figures, completely black and opaque, often seen out of the corner of our eyes and gone when you turn to look. Traits include no facial features, tall silhouettes, sometimes hats or cloaks, and a heavy feeling of being watched. Theories are interdimensional beings, spirits, demons, astral projections, sleep-based hallucinations, or collective archetypes. The chilling part, these sightings are reported worldwide by people with no prior exposure to the concept.
Yeah.
It's worldwide.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. So shadow people, let's talk about some shadow people for a minute. All right. So some of the traits they said, you were talking about no facial features, tall silhouettes, sometimes hats or cloaks. And we'll come on to that phenomenon in the next segment. And a heavy feeling of being watched. Have you ever experienced that, a shadow figure?
Yeah, several times.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, one of them, I was sleeping in my sister's bedroom, and it was the half-figured shadow figure. And it looked to me like a stain on the wall. But it had a brim hat, it had the overcoat, and you don't see any details, it's just there.
Right.
And you know, and it scared me. It just felt like I was being watched. I think I hid under the covers, fell asleep, but that night I woke up with a fever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the next morning that stain was gone.
Right.
Yeah. So I know it wasn't a stain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had times as a child where I'd be lying in bed and I'd look up at the ceiling and in the corner, up in the corner, you'd see like a dark mass.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd try and adjust your eyes to like see if you're just imagining something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the mass would grow and you would see it kind of moving. It wasn't the shape of a person or anything. It was like a blob.
Yeah. Yeah.
A mass. Like a deep dark fog blob.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, kind of swirl around and stuff. And then I'd do kind of the same as you. I'd like hide under the covers and stuff and eventually fall asleep as well. So that's my only kind of experience with shadow figures. I've never seen the Hat Man or anything like that. We're going to talk about the Hat Man in the next segment. But that's interesting. No facial features. That's a common trait with all shadow people. They don't have any facial features.
Yeah,
it's either they don't have any facial features or we don't see them long enough to identify any facial features.
Well, I think they're so black that they draw in all the colors. So there is no shape.
There's no definition.
There's no definition
to the face because it's just
there's no light bouncing off.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, and then the heavy feeling of being watched. I mean, I've had that a ton of times in my life. I think we've all experienced that feeling of heaviness that,
oh man,
oh my God, I'm being watched.
It's almost like you're in the swimming pool, you know, where, you're, where mm-hmm. the water weight is right on you. That's mm-hmm. exactly how it almost feels like.
Yeah. I mean, I remember times where I've been walking down streets late at night and, you know, you just get that feeling that you're being watched, that somebody's watching. You don't know if there's actually somebody, a real life human watching you, like potentially sizing you up or, you know, to attack you or your hair starts standing on end. And stuff, or you don't know if it's paranormal related, you know what I mean? You just know you're feeling that you're being watched.
And
we're programmed, wired, hardwired in the brain to recognize that stuff.
Yeah.
It's part of our fight or flight response system.
Exactly.
We can detect when we're being watched like prey.
Oh, yeah.
Just like prey animal in the wild.
Yeah.
Like deer and gazelle and all
their instincts, man.
Their instincts are set up. They you see them if you watch these wildlife programs. They're 1 minute they're chewing the grass, like do 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 head down, next minute they're like, whoop.
Full alert. Yeah.
You know, they know something's going on, man. Nothing's made a sound, nothing's moved, but they know they're being watched and they're on high alert all of a sudden. You know, so we've all got those kind of instincts.
But, you know, the one thing that scares me about the dark figures is, could it be demonic? Because, you know, it kind of represents that sometimes. But I've never really seen a shadow figure that was demonic. There were more grayish, you know, grayish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know enough about them to say one way or another. True. Could it potentially be demonic in nature? Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There could be demons that are just there to watch us and pick up on our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and stuff and essentially report back.
Could this also be the lighting in the room? Like, as if it was a dark, you know, with no light, to us it looks like a dark shadow,
right?
Could it, you know, opposed to a white ghost,
right? You know? Right, yeah, so. Very cool,
yeah.
I mean, some of the other things you were talking about, interdimensional beings, spirits, demons, astral projections, sleep-based hallucinations, or collective archetypes. Now, let's get through that. Interdimensional beings, that's a really interesting one. Could shadow people be interdimensional beings, beings that are traveling through the dimensions and landing in ours for a split second, or passing through ours for a split second, and we just catch a little glimpse of someone, and maybe because of interdimensional, you know, whatever, all you see is a shadow of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's plausible. Interdimensional stuff has been talked about for decades now, and again, it's one of those subjects, just like the multiverse theory, that's becoming more scientific mainstream. Yeah. And people are talking about it more and more open to discussing it and accepting it as possibility.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in fact, scientists have actually proven that the multiverse theory is, you know, theoretically possible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, theoretically, it's at least.
Mathematically possible.
Yeah, mathematically possible.
Yeah.
They just, you know, there's certain things that they argue over the semantics of it. But for the most part, they're starting to come round to that notion that the interdimensional, multidimensional planes exist.
Yeah.
You know, so all right, well, that's good. I mean, the other thing there is that the sightings are reported worldwide, and sometimes they've got no prior exposure to it, like cultures who don't really normally talk about the paranormal. They've never really heard of shadow figures, yet all of a sudden they see a shadow figure. They don't know what to describe it as. You know, they just know they've seen a shadow. And you know, it wasn't,
or they generalize it as a spirit.
Yeah, or they generalize it just as another, as a spirit, a regular spirit or something. So yeah, it's a weird one. All right. Well, what we're talking about, Roman was talking about the traits that shadow figures have, and he said sometimes they wear hats or cloaks. Now that brings us on to segment three of tonight's show, and that is the Hat Man phenomenon. That's right. The Hat Man is one of the most documented shadow figures. He appears tall, wearing a trench coat and a wide-brimmed hat. The witnesses report dread, sleep paralysis, and a sense of being watched or studied. He doesn't vanish quickly like other shadow people, though. He lingers around. Now, is he a hallucination or something far more ominous? Roman, you've had experience with the Hat Man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking the bottom, the ladder. You know, is he in hallucination? Because, like I said, that night I was sick. So what if I was getting sick and I hallucinated this thing? But
yeah,
I mean, that's a possibility. But for me to see it, you know, without thinking of something to build it from.
Yeah.
I don't think it's hallucination.
Yeah.
You know, because if I saw a show in the morning and, you know, and it scared me and it dwelled in me and yeah, I could see a hallucination all of a sudden of right. something that I saw. But this is something I've never seen before. I mean, that's kind of, you know, weird for a spirit to have a hat.
You know what I mean? It's not something you would think your brain would throw into the equation if it was trying to make up a ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And why have a hat?
Yeah, you know?
But that's what I saw, and it scared it scared me.
Yeah.
It scared me a lot. Yeah. And I was like maybe within 7 years old, because a lot of things started at 7 years old for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, there's some stuff that I've experienced from my relatives or my brothers, my siblings. But that one, at seven years old, I started feeling my, you know, what I saw. You know, for me. You know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was about between the ages of 5 and about 10 or 11. Because I think by the time I got to 10 or 11, I was so sick of the paranormal stuff happening to me every night when I went to bed.
Frightening, yeah.
That was frightening. I couldn't sleep. I was exhausted and stuff. And I couldn't tell anybody. Couldn't tell my mom.
Yeah.
Almost going to believe me.
Yeah, yeah, that's the sad
part. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm a young child. I didn't even know how to explain it. I didn't know it was ghosts. I just knew that there was these things happening in my room at night that terrified me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so how do you explain that when you're 5 or 6 years old? So I think by the time I got to 10 or 11, I was so sick of it that I just kind of shut it off.
Yeah.
I blocked it out.
That's pretty powerful because that's pretty hard to do though, you know, to just shut it out.
It is.
And that's
pretty
powerful.
It is a difficult thing to do. And I don't believe I done it overnight. I believe it was something that took me months to do.
I'm sure.
Months of concentration of every night saying you're not real, you're not real, you're not real, you're not really here, you're not really here.
Yeah,
took months of you know, having that mantra, saying it out loud at night when I went to bed when these things were happening, and then eventually one night it stopped.
Yeah,
you know,
it probably saw that you had no interest in it.
You know, so and from that day on, from around 10 or 11 years old, I didn't have many more paranormal experiences. Yeah. I had one, I think I told you about a dual experience me and some school friends had at an old house. We'll talk about that another time. But I had that. But other than that, you know, there was nothing. And that's part of my paranormal journey, as I often talk about now, is to getting back into opening myself up to the paranormal.
Yeah.
And it won't happen overnight, just like it didn't happen overnight to shut myself off to it.
Yeah.
It won't happen overnight to open myself back up to it.
Yeah.
It'll take months, some maybe years of me doing these investigations of being willing to receive messages now.
Yeah.
And paranormal activity, it might take me years. Here's some of the weird stuff. Sometimes I'll hold out some of our equipment, and we've done this with you, and we've done this with Megan, one of the other girls on our team, where we've held a piece of our equipment, or I'm holding a piece of our equipment, and there's nothing coming through.
Yeah.
And then we're doing it when I was showing you all the equipment, and I hand it to you, and all of a sudden the thing started talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't want to talk to me, but the minute I hand it to you, it's all of a sudden the thing started talking like a, you know,
it said the age or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it said the age right between your age and my age.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was 50s. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it was right between our ages anyway. Yeah. It got the numbers pretty much spot on right between our ages, which was, I found interesting.
Yeah. And that's when your flag hit me.
Yeah, that's when you thought the flag hit you. The flag didn't hit you.
Yeah, it wouldn't reach.
The flag wouldn't reach to where you were standing.
Yeah, that was a moment.
Yeah, so that's been interesting. We've had a couple of interesting moments already.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But the witnesses report dread and sleep paralysis. Now, the sleep paralysis side of it, I can talk a lot about. I had it for so many goddamn years. And I swear it was, although I say the paranormal activity stopped when I was 11, sleep paralysis didn't. I always had sleep paralysis from a young child.
Oh, wow.
But I just didn't know that was paranormal in nature. I just get told by my mom, it's a bad dream. You just had a bad dream. She'd waken up screaming and she'd come running in the room and stuff and be like, what's up? What's wrong? And I'd be like, oh, there was, you know, someone, and I didn't know what to call it, a demon.
Yeah, yeah.
It was something in the corner of the room. There was something with red eyes or something, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And my mom would be like, nightmare, go back to sleep. You know,
no more sugar.
You want a drink of water? Go back to sleep. You know, and that'd be the end of it. You wouldn't. But so again, it's like, who do you tell? What do you, you know, what do you say and stuff? Yeah. But the sleep paralysis stuff is horrendous, because for anybody that's never experienced sleep paralysis, it's where scientifically, medically, they say what happens is your brain wakens up before your body. So your body's essentially still asleep, but your mind's awake. And it puts you into this confused frame of mind where you're in a twilight world almost.
Yeah.
And often they say when you have this sleep paralysis, it comes with a sense of fear, of dread. It comes with demons attacking you or ghosts attacking you in different ways. And it's different. It's slightly different for everybody, but always has the same underlying kind of things to it, like the sense of fear or dread,
or being held down
and strangled, or something heavy on your chest pushing you down.
Yeah.
Those are the most common sides of sleep paralysis. My sleep paralysis happened. I won't describe the. Let's just say I had an encounter with a couple of females.
Oh, wow.
One night, and I think what happened was I angered God, and He sent a demon to teach me a lesson about lust, and He sent a spirit to me, and the spirit. The demon appeared to me that same night. I went to sleep and I woke up in a sleep paralysis, but this thing was bouncing on my chest.
Oh, wow.
And then it was a little troll-like demon.
Oh,
so it was only about 2.5 foot tall, 3 foot tall or something, and it was on my, it was bouncing up and on my chest. And then I tried to get up and I was moving, and then as I get ready to, when I finally moved and snapped out the sleep paralysis, it jumped off and ran under my bed.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I snapped out of it like, oh my God, oh, I can move now. And oh my God, where the hell was that? And I jumped up on my bed and I was like a child, like standing on my bed and my tippy toes, like knowing looking down at my bed, yeah. Knowing something, there's something under my bed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, freaking out. And eventually, I was sweating, my heart was pounding, and eventually I started calming down and I jumped off my bed out towards the door of my bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ran out into the living room and I turned the lights on in the living room and I turned the TV on and I turned the music on and I turned everything on that I could turn on to make some noise and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't know what else to do. And I never went back to sleep in that room that night. Eventually I passed out on the couch in my living room several hours later from exhaustion.
It was only one figure. I mean,
one demon.
Yeah,
about 2.5 to 3 foot tall, little troll-like demon.
I mean, that would have been enough.
And it was bouncing on my chest, you know what I mean? And it was laughing at me and snarling and all the things and just mocking me, you know? And that was the worst case of sleep paralysis I ever had. And I think it was, and if you believe in the spiritual stuff and you believe that sleep paralysis is spiritual in nature, paranormal in nature, then I believe that my actions that night angered God, and you know He wasn't happy with direction. That if I was going to act like that, He wasn't happy with that direction for my life, and He wanted to show me or teach me a lesson or something.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it was the devil. Like,
finding a source to come in.
Using that as a source to come into my life and torment me.
Yeah.
Especially
when you have that anger.
Right.
Yeah.
So God only knows what it was. But
But it happened.
It happened, yeah. And it was so real to me that it took me a long time. I slept with the light on for a lot of weeks after that in my bedroom. I mean, eventually I went back in my bedroom the next night, but I slept with the light on.
Of course.
You know, and I did for weeks.
Yeah.
In that apartment. And I eventually moved out of that apartment after a couple of months, and everything went back to normal and stuff, and I wasn't scared again and stuff. But from that moment in that apartment, I could never sleep without the light being on.
Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah. All right. Going on to segment four, we're going to move on from the Hatman phenomenon, and we're going to talk about the science of the shadow, quantum theories and dimensional bleed through. All right, let's get started. Let's shift gears and talk about something that toes the line between science and speculation. The theory that shadow people aren't ghosts, demons, or figments of imagination at all, but rather beings from another dimension. Now, this theory, sometimes referred to as dimensional bleed-through, suggests that what we call shadow people may be glimpses of life forms existing in parallel realities, other versions of space-time brushing up against our own. Some physicists in the realm of quantum theory have even entertained the possibility of multiple dimensions stacked like invisible layers on top of each other. If that's the case, what happens when those layers weaken? Could we occasionally see them? And could they see us? There are chilling accounts of shadow people acting surprised, even startled when noticed, as if they weren't expecting to be seen. I mean, could they be travelers, observers, accidents of quantum collisions? Of course, there's no solid scientific proof. But the idea that the universe may be more layered than we perceive opens up some truly unsettling possibilities. If shadow people are interdimensional in nature, then traditional spiritual protections like sage or holy water may not mean a thing. It also raises a more pressing question. If they can cross into our world, what's stopping something worse from doing the same? Shadow people as interdimensional beings and time warps and stuff like that. What do you think, Roman? I mean, it's possible. It's really possible that we could have shadow people that are dimensional bleed through. They're living in a different dimension altogether from us. But something happens where the dimensions become intermingled for a second. They pass through each other. And or something, and we wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even know it. You know, there's some suggestion that, I mean, even on the grander scheme of things, talking about universes, that there's some people in the scientific community that suggest that our universe itself is actually under attack right now by another universe. Another universe is starting to pass through the Milky Way. And that could be a cause. I mean, those things don't happen overnight. No. They take probably hundreds of thousands of years to happen.
Yeah.
Could that be bringing other dimensions closer to us?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, stuff like that. It's a compelling conversation. I just don't know. I don't know if I can accept them as interdimensional beings. Although I believe in interdimensional stuff, I believe in multiverse theory, I just don't know if it strikes true that shadow people are interdimensional. To me, they seem more spiritual.
I think they're demons. I mean, I think they're you know, the devil. I mean,
you think they're demons?
I think so. I mean, that's all about his way, right? To deceive the living, to plant
fear and doubt,
and then they try to make the, you know, like ancient aliens, like they try to make it look as if aliens were the ones who cultivated us, you know, removing God and, you know, and spirit.
Well, that's another conversation. I mean, I'd like to touch on it for a minute. I mean, God, we define God very different ways. I think people generally define God in different ways. the way I define God, or not necessarily the way I define God, but the way I think others see God and the way that there's possibilities of different ways to see God. We see God, if you're a Catholic or a strong Christian or whatever, you believe God in a spiritual sense. You believe that he's this omnipotent being who always existed and always will exist, who created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. And, you know, he knows all
impossible things that's made possible.
And
he introduced EMC square.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like all of those things. You know, and then there's other people that view God in a more stoic, theoretical way and think, well, what is God? What could God be? Could God just be a word we put to what we identify, what we historically in the past identified as were our creators? And this is where the ancient alien theory comes in. Where they start talking about where we seeded from the stars. Did an alien species come down? A very powerful ancient species come down at some point in our past and
act like a god
and
or we misinterpreted and a god.
created us from their own DNA. You know, did they make us originally in a test tube, you know, and then planted that life on earth to grow itself? You know, and people, there's a lot of people that believe in that theory. You know, that it's. And the interesting theory of it to me is it's not taking God out. That theory doesn't take God out of the equation. Some might say it does. I don't think it does. Because God is, if you believe in God, then science is just a method of proving God exists. Because you don't know the method. You don't know, like, we talk about the, well, we've got what's the words I'm looking for? We got the, oh, forget it. But God is an ever-present idea. Like, no matter how you perceive, what you perceive God as, you know, I mean, God, there's still a God at the end of it.
It's your belief.
You know what I mean? It's just your belief in it. You know, I mean, it's a weird thing and it's hard to talk about.
Well, it is, because especially different cultures, right? I mean, everyone believes in a God, and I totally am for that, as long as they got someone that takes care of them and, you know.
Yeah, a supreme being, right? At least everybody has, I believe that nearly everybody in the world has a belief in some sort of supreme being.
Yeah, but you know, the weird thing is, the stories are basically parallel to each other, right?
Yeah.
A creator, a son being born, a savior, right, to the people. You know, that's kind of amazing. Every religion almost has the same, you know, the same story. What if it's the same God?
No, absolutely.
We just call him different because of the culture we were born in.
And I'm sure that is the same, because the three major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all preach to the same God. They all we just call them different names. No, we call him God.
We call him God because of the Bible that we read, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
In Hebrew would be a different thing.
And the Hebrew Bible, they call him Jehovah. And the Muslims call him
Allah. So
you know, the three main religions call God by different names. But if you read the Bible, we're all talking about the same person, same God.
That's why I give respects to everyone who has their belief. I don't ever, you know, badmouth anyone.
No, absolutely.
With their belief. That's, you know, that's powerful stuff.
Yep. All right. Well, I think we're going to move on now. Here we go.
Okay.
You see right here, Roman?
Yep. Cultural origins of shadow beings. Shadow figures appear in global folklore. Jinn in the Middle Eastern legends, dark watchers in the European tales, spirit walkers in the Native American beliefs. Are these entities all the same thing, wearing different cultural masks?
Interesting. I
mean, they do have the same, you know, the same essence, right? I mean, the same.
Yeah. Again, just like we're talking about God giving it different names, all we're doing as with shadow people in three different cultures. It's just giving it a different name. We're not calling it a shadow person in the Middle East. They call it jinn. They call it a jinn. You know, and they put that name to, like, it can be a good or an evil demon, a jinn.
A very powerful demon.
A powerful spirit.
Yeah,
dark watchers in European tales. I've heard stories about the watchers in Europe. And it's just the same as the shadow people. It's watchers, apparently.
The watchers is, are they the, what do you consider them? I mean,
they're like, kind of like shadow people. You see them and they're just watching you. You know,
I thought like the angels, the watchers.
No.
That's a different segment.
That's a difference. A different watchers.
Sorry.
But, global folklore talks a lot about shadow people, and it's an interesting concept that it's the same thing, just wearing different cultural masks, for sure. I don't know. Jinn, I don't know if it's just me, but I always thought jinn was more of a, like I said, more of a spirit that was either good or bad in nature. I didn't realize that they were actually considered, a shadow person would actually be considered a jinn as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I think, so it looks, sounds to me like they throw all the kind of spirits into one group. And Middle Eastern legends, instead of them splitting them up, saying good spirit, bad spirit, shadow person, whatever, they're just saying, they just say, well, it's a jinn.
Yeah, to generalize it, right?
Just to generalize it. So it all gets thrown in together. So then that, to me, that muddies the waters and confuses things a little bit, because you don't know if someone says, well, I've seen a jinn, okay, you need to give
me more. Yeah, you give it the right definition,
right? You need to give me more information than that now, because a jinn could mean multiple things.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm interpreting it. If you're watching this and I'm wrong, please do drop us a line, let us know, because we want to know the facts here. And I'm just talking because it's what I think. So it could be wrong, but you guys keep us informed if I'm right or wrong. Give us a thumbs up, give us a thumbs down, or whatever.
Comment in the forum.
Yeah, comment in the community or comment on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast from.
Because we really, really want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Dark Watchers, those are interesting, because I think, if I remember the stories correctly, rather than it being one shadow figure that people see, it's a collection of figures, so they'll see multiple shadow people at once, essentially, and then they call them the Watchers.
Almost like a tribe of
people watching, and seeing what's going on. So I don't know. It could very well be that. I don't know. Spirit walkers in Native American beliefs. That's very interesting as well. Spirit walkers have a lot of different.
They're guides, right?
Huh?
They're guides at times. Spirit walkers?
Well, no? I don't know if I'm confusing spirit walkers with skinwalkers in Indian culture.
Yeah.
You know, because I know in Indian culture you've got skinwalkers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if spirit walkers are the same thing.
Okay.
Again, if you're Native American or know about that stuff, drop us a line, let us know. Are spirit walkers and skinwalkers in the Native American culture the same thing? If they are the same thing, then again, like the jinn, they can mean both, they can be both good and they can be both evil.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's a generalized name for a collection of ghost-like, you know, stuff that they put together. Again, it could be two separate things. If it's two separate things, spirit walkers and skinwalkers, then I'd love to know the theory more on spirit walkers, because I know a lot about skinwalkers.
Skinwalkers are scary, man.
Yeah. And they can be summoned by humans, by making offerings and doing rituals. You can have them, essentially, you can essentially take a contract out on somebody.
Wow.
Using skinwalkers.
Wow.
You make sacrifices and make payments to the skinwalkers through rituals and gifts that you put in ritual fires and stuff. Sacrifices. And they've actually found stuff. I mean, I remember watching one of the TV shows that they'd done an investigation. I don't think it was Skinwalker Ranch. I think it was another Indian tribe land where they found evidence of a cave. And in the outside of the cave, they found a little fire. And it had all these little medals in it, little medallions and stuff like that, little stuff that had been put in the fire. And they believe that somebody knew they were coming and wanted to put a curse on them. And had made this ritual to bring out the skinwalkers. And during that investigation, they got a lot of evidence and stuff. Nothing like scientifically 100%. But, you know, they got
the theories, got
some good evidence that night. And they were all terrified, of course. You know, they're out there
in the open land
and stuff, thinking there's a skinwalker after them. I'd be pretty terrified too.
And the skinwalkers can change shapes too, right?
They can take forms. Animals. Skinwalkers are thought to hang around with coyote packs.
Okay.
They're known to be hanging around coyote packs and taking the shapes of coyotes.
Okay.
Especially that's what they're most known for. So if you're out in the wild and you hear a coyote pack, you know, there could be a skinwalker among them. And you just never know. Again, I watched one on TV. It was some kids on it. There was this TV show, like Paranormal Caught on TV or something. And these kids had sent in a video where they had captured what they thought was a skinwalker, and you see in the distance, they're filming off in a distance of a field, and they're filming this field, and you can see a pack of coyotes crossing the field.
Okay.
And you see this figure crossing the field, and it looks kind of humanoid, but then it turns into
I think I've seen something like that.
But then as they go into the woods and they start to go out of sight, it transforms from a person shape into another coyote. And then they disappear into the brush.
The camera, security cameras capturing these things.
Yeah.
Where you see a dog running and all of a sudden it's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, CCTV cameras can be very
hard to fake, right?
Well, no. It's not that they're hard to fake. They're easy to misinterpret.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens with security cameras is they're programmed to record at a certain frame rate.
Okay.
Maybe 30 frames per second, 60 frames per second or something. Whatever the frame rate is, I don't know. I'm just
60 frames.
You know. But if something moves across faster than that frame rate, it can distort the image.
True, yeah.
Now, I've seen this on another TV show.
that's how you get the information, right?
Just last night. And it was showing you an image of what they thought was a dinosaur, like a little raptor, running through a Florida backyard. And it looked like it had a tail.
Oh, wow.
And it looked just like it was up on its back legs running through the backyard. But during the scientific analysis of the video, they discovered that the frame rate wasn't good enough for the video, that it wasn't going to capture the speed that this animal went through. And when they actually done the corrections and stuff, they actually found out it was a dog with a dog leash and a chain dangling behind
it. Wow.
And the chain was giving the illusion of a tail because it was streaking across the screen and the screen wasn't able to record fast enough. So it was stretching out the image and making it look like it had a longer tail than it actually did.
Kind of like those rod things they catch, right? Those
Rods.
What are they called? Rod.
Rods.
Just rods.
Rods. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talk about rods
for
years.
A long time. Yeah. But that just reminded me of what.
Yeah. Rods were around for a long, long time
until they improved the camera. Maybe.
maybe that's what it was. I haven't heard anything about rods in the longest time.
Yeah.
And if for anybody who doesn't know what rods was, Rods were phenomenon that you used to be able to catch on camera. And they acted very, and skydivers would catch them where they'd be falling through the sky. And this little creature, like a stick insect almost, would pass by them at supersonic speeds, going past them. Yeah. But then they would stop in midair.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop on their mark and reverse and go flying up past the skydiver again, the opposite way, heading back up. You know what I mean? And nobody could identify what they were. Yeah, and people all of a sudden were looking for these, and they were catching these rods on video all over the place. Now, people have suggested they're just insects flying really fast, and that exact thing that I described is happening, where it's stretching the image.
Because it has, like, what, two pairs of wings at times.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So,
interdimensional.
You don't know. I mean, are there things in this world that move that fast around that we just can't see them? Yeah. I'm pretty sure there probably is. Yeah. I'm probably sure there's some insects that move around faster than the human eye can perceive. Therefore, we don't perceive them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we don't see them. Maybe they have different habitats to keep them away from humans for the most part. I don't know. But it's an interesting theory for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on from segment 5 and the cultural origins of shadow beings, we're going to move on to segment 6, and we're going to talk about sleep paralysis versus the paranormal. Sleep paralysis versus the paranormal. Now, science explains many shadow people sightings as sleep paralysis. Mind awake, body frozen, visual and auditory hallucinations, but not all sightings happen during sleep. Many occur during daylight, in broad daylight, or by multiple witnesses. So, shadow people is sleep paralysis. I mean,
it's always common, huh?
I mean, sleep paralysis, as I spoke about earlier, I had this for a lot of years, and it's very common. Unfortunately, I passed that trait to my daughter, and she has terrible sleep paralysis at times now. I don't know, you seem to grow out of it in your late 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed to be when I was in my mid to late 30s that I started to grow out of this sleep paralysis, and it started stopping. But I never saw a shadow person. I wouldn't say, no, you're wrong. I'm wrong. Now I'm thinking back, I did. The one episode I had a sleep paralysis was before my house was burned down with the fire.
Oh, wow, okay.
When it was the original house we had here. And me and my wife were in bed. And a girl was living with us at the time called Tiffany. And we went to bed, and I woke up, thought I heard a radio playing, like a radio and alarm clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought I heard the radio playing on like a radio alarm clock. And it was like, hello, welcome. Hey, everybody, welcome to San Francisco. You're listening to KYW. No, it sounded like all that kind of stuff that I was hearing. And I'm kind of like half asleep, and I'm waking up, and I'm like, what radio am I hearing? What's going on here? And I can open my eyes, or to my mind, what I'm doing is I'm opening my eyes and I'm looking, and my bedroom door looks straight if I'm lying in my bed, we would look straight at the bedroom door.
So I
kind of sat up a little bit, and I looked straight at the bedroom door, and I seen a shadow figure in my bedroom door. But I somehow identified it as Tiffany, because to my logical brain, that's the only person it could be, because she would be the only other person in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and I even said, hey, Tiff. And it never responded. And I kind of sat, but leaned back again, closed my eyes, and I remember hearing the radio noise playing again.
Wow.
And I opened my eyes again. And I realized, I'm like, I'm having sleep paralysis. I have to get out of my bed and fully waken myself up to knock this out.
Were you paralyzed, though, at that time? I mean, were you?
Well, no, I was paralyzed at the time. But to me, I felt like I was sitting up or opening my eyes and stuff. But I'm paralyzed in reality.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I'm feeling like I'm sitting up.
You're sitting up, yeah.
I'm trying to move. I'm not moving, but I'm feeling like I'm trying to sit up and all this stuff. But, that sleep paralysis episode was one of the weirder ones that I had, because it didn't involve demons as such, or not not that any of that identified as demon.
Yeah.
It was just a weird radio alarm clock playing music, playing a radio, some random radio station in the background, and then a dark figure in the doorway.
Yeah.
And my brain just identified it, and straight away it's Tiffany.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, hey, Tiff, what are you doing?
That's pretty weird how you were conscious enough to know the differences. I mean, not differences, but to know that that could have been Tiffany, you know?
Yeah. My brain automatically went there because I think when something like that happens, whether you're half asleep or not, your brain all of a sudden is scrambling to try and make sense of what you're seeing. So it throws out all these things. And I think my brain was like,
making common sense
trying to make the common sense out of it as fast as it could. And it was like, it's got to be Tiffany.
Yeah.
She's the only other person in the house. But then I was like, well, why would Tiffany be standing at my bedroom door?
Yeah.
You know, staring in at me. You know, just that precise moment where I would waking up.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't make any logical sense. Yeah. You know, and I was too scared to actually go in and check Tiffany was in her room.
Yeah.
You know, I got up. I remember getting up, went in the living room again and kind of sat there for a couple of minutes and woke up, had a cup of coffee, a cigarette and stuff, and cleared my head, and then went back to bed and fell asleep, and I was fine.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, sleep paralysis and shadow figures. I mean, I definitely think a lot of people who suffer from sleep paralysis will probably say that they've seen a shadow figure.
Well, you know, what I experienced was, or most of the time, is when you're laying there frozen, you kind of know where this thing is because you're forcing your head to turn that way. And once you turn your head that way, you know, that's when you start breaking this hold on you.
Yep.
I mean, I try to create so many devices or techniques to get out of that, you know, that paralysis, because I want it to fight back.
Yeah. And you're fighting back. That's the horrible thing about sleep paralysis. You're struggling so hard to move. And you can't. And then all of a sudden, when you snap out of it, you jolt off.
Yeah.
And the number of times that I've had it and jolted awake and fell off my bed, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, because you jolt so violently up once you snap out of it, because you're putting all your strength, all your physical effort into trying to move.
And you release all
that. And then you release all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. You know, and you go flying off the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's unexplainable. I wish somebody could give me a better explanation for sleep paralysis than it's just a scientific thing that happens to our brain where our brain wakens up before our body wakens up. And, you know, I don't believe it's just as simple as that. And if it is as simple as that, then again, it's, to me, it's just the mechanism to allowing demons in. Whether it's scientific or not, it's the mechanism in which God created, because God created everything, good and bad. You know, God created the heavens and the earth and everything. You know, yin and yang, there's got to be all good to have bad. You've got to have bad to
It's your intention of what you do with that.
Well, you've got to have bad in the world too, so you understand what good is.
Definitely.
If there's no bad in the world, you don't know what good is.
Definitely.
You know, so you have to have bad in the world to compensate and remind us what good actually looks like.
Yep.
So that's my theory on that. That's my theory on that. All right. So where are we going now?
We're on segment 7.
Yeah, we're ready to go to segment 7, I think. All right, over to you, Roman.
Okay, it's a listener story. The Corner Watcher. It's from Jamie from Fairfield Shares. For months, I kept seeing someone in the corner of my living room after dark. My sister visited and asked, "Who's the guy in the corner?" I have never told her. I moved out shortly.
She moved out shortly after.
Yeah, he just said, "I'm out of here.
I'm done." Yeah, for a start, if you're seeing someone in the corner of your living room after dark for months, I mean, I'd be terrified just
and then
as
someone else says, "Hey, who's that?"
And you haven't told them about it. I mean, because your sister's probably like, "Well, I'm not going to tell my sister about this because she's going to think I'm crazy."
Yeah.
So I ain't going to tell her about this because she'll not want to come over to my house and visit me no more. You know, so she's probably right. It's probably she never told her sister Jack poop.
Yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden her sister comes over one day and sees a guy in the corner like, "Who's the guy in the corner of your living room?" You know, that moment, I'd have been up and out the door. Yeah. I'd have been like, "All right, we're out of here."
Confirming something there, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'd have been gone.
Thanks to Jamie.
Yeah, that's from Jamie from Fairfield. So thanks, Jamie, for that awesome story. Man, I don't know. I really don't know how I'd react if I seen something dark in my living room for months.
My question is it always there though? Is it sometimes, or is it just sometimes, you know, because that is pretty scary, man. I mean, yeah, that's spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, off the subject a little bit, but one of the videos that I've seen recently really spooked me. And it was a guy who was sitting on his couch and he turned the light out and then turned it back on and took a photograph. And the photograph actually showed a spirit sitting next to him.
Oh, wow.
And he could repeat it.
Wow.
And he could repeat it and he could only do it if he was looking in the mirror. He had to look at his reflection in the mirror.
Wow.
In this mirror. And he would turn the light out, look in the mirror, and then he would see in the mirror, yeah, he would see someone sitting next to him. If he turned to look,
no one's there.
Yeah. But in the mirror, if he looked in the mirror, someone was on the couch next to him, sitting beside him. And he took photographs of it and stuff. And you can see it in the reflection in the mirror. But he was recorded it live in video as well. In real time. So you could actually see the figure in the mirror. And that really spooked me. You know, I mean, because I found it really hard to debunk that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you know, it was an obvious figure, shadowy figure of someone sitting right next to this guy on the couch.
Wow.
And then he'd look, turn the camera that, and there'd nothing there, turn it back, and then the dark figure's back in the mirror reflection, sitting right beside him. You know, so he wasn't scared about it. He thought it might have been a friendly ghost, actually. Someone he maybe have known that had passed.
Okay.
So he felt a little bit of comfort, actually, knowing that maybe his friend was visiting him and sitting beside him, visiting. Yeah. So he took it that way. I don't think I would have taken it that way if it happened in my house.
Nor I.
I think I'd have been up and out there, and that mirror would have been off the wall in a heartbeat. It would
have been broken.
I don't know if I'd smash your mirror. That's even more bad luck.
I'm not much of a superstitious guy.
You're not? Man, I am. Yeah. I am. I'm like, cross my fingers, double, and knock on wood. All this stuff, I can't help it. I don't want to be that superstitious guy, but I tend to be.
Yeah.
I tend to be. All right, so that was a listener story. Now we're going to go on to segment 8, protection and advice. All right, now, if you're encountering shadow people, here's some things to remember. Do not engage with them. Just don't engage. There's no point. We don't know what they are. We don't know if they're demonic or friendly. Just err on the side of caution and don't engage with them. Now, here's one. Avoid sleeping on your back if you can. And the reason I say that is because sleep paralysis is often associated with sleeping on your back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every time I've had sleep paralysis, I woke up on my back.
Yeah, me too.
Every single time I woke up on my back, unable to move, and I'm like, mumbling and kind of trying to move and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You never wake up. I mean, you never had a sleep paralysis on your side.
No, never on my side. Never on when I'm lying on my side.
Yeah, yeah.
So try and avoid sleeping on your back. So that's a good one to avoid sleep paralysis in the first place. Cleanse your space. Now do whatever ritual you want to do, whether it's a smudging, any other type of cleansing ritual that you want to do in your space that's important to you or your culture, then please do that. Cleanse your space regularly. I would suggest once a month cleansing your space. Keep the energy clean. And if you need any advice or help, feel free to contact us. We'll send you some resources on cleansing your space. So, and we've even got an online store that my wife runs where we could actually send you some products for cleansing your home or your space. So if you need any of that stuff, please reach out to us. Now, keep a journal. This is a good thing also. Keep a journal of your paranormal experiences, especially with shadow people and stuff like that as well. It's going to let you identify any kind of patterns.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're keeping a journal and you're saying like, okay, today felt good, no stress, blah, 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 no sleep paralysis that night. Then the next night it's like, oh, had a horrible day or full of stress. Then that night had sleep paralysis. If that happens regularly where you say you've had stress in your day and then that same night you have sleep paralysis, then maybe you can say, well, it's associated with stress.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that it is associated with stress. So if that's the case, then lower your stress levels. The lower your stress levels are, the less sleep paralysis you're likely to have.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah.
And seek support, both spiritual and psychological. Always seek support from both spiritual and psychological. Now, don't go to just the spiritual or just the psychological. Delve into both the spiritual and the psychological side of your experiences. Is it a psychological thing that you're experiencing? You know, because that can be explained away.
Yeah.
And it's also things that can be treated in a person so that they're not experiencing those things anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's a psychological reason.
It's calming it down,
You know?
Yeah.
If it's a spiritual reason, then you want a spiritual advisor. You want someone or a paranormal team or someone who knows about the spiritual side of the world to get involved and give you support, you know?
Anyway,
interesting. All right, so segment 9, our closing and next episode teaser for you guys. So I want to thank you all for joining me and Roman on this journey today. Submit your stories at solanoparanormal.com. If you get any stories at all, submit them to solanoparanormal.com. We would love to hear them, and we will read them out live on our podcast each week for you guys as you send them in. And we'll give you guys a shout out. If you send us some stories in, give us your address and we'll send you a little bit of merch, team merchandise as well for free.
Nice.
You know, just to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Nice.
All right. So next week, episode 4, we're going to be talking about EVPs, Voices from Beyond the Veil. All right. So that's electronic voice phenomenon, Voices from Beyond the Veil. That's going to be on episode 4 next week. So again, I just want to thank Roman for being with me tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, my friend. Hopefully, our other team members will be with us next week again. And until then, my friends, stay curious, stay safe, and keep one eye on the shadows. Good night, my friends.
Bye, everyone.